stock assessment peer review, and that will be the Science Center. So whenever you're ready, let's have it.
Good morning. This is Russell Brown, and I'll be making the presentation on behalf of my colleagues who did this work. A reminder, these are the results of management track assessments. And so for these two stocks, we do these every 2 years. We were supposed to do a number of management track assessments this fall because of COVID and data issues and things like that. The schedule was pared down, so I'll be discussing the results of the Gulf of Maine and Georges Bank COD assessments. Next slide. We'll start out with the Gulf of Maine COD. So next slide. So taking a look at sort of the total fishery removals, so this includes both commercial and recreational landings and discards. Historically, those removals were on the order of 15,000 to 20,000 metric tons. You can see that that's declined through time. Obviously, the fishery is highly regulated at this point, and the removals in recent years are at very low levels. Next slide. This is an overview of the fishery survey data. We have three different data fishery surveys that are included in the assessment. The top panel shows the Massachusetts Department of Marine Fisheries spring and autumn bottom trawl surveys left and right. The second panel is the fall surveys, and then for the center, and then the spring surveys at the bottom. You can see through time that these surveys generally indicate a decline in both abundance and biomass. And the surveys at this point are at some of the lowest levels that we've seen. Next slide. So this slide shows basically the age composition that we see in the center spring and autumn bottom trawl surveys. So the years are going down the axis from 1971 to 2021. And then the ages are going across the axis. So you can see in this particular slide that there was a much broader age composition in our survey data in the 1970s through the mid-1980s. You can see that it's fairly truncated in recent years. The survey is unable to detect a significant number of older fish. And in fact, we saw no fish older than age 5 or 6 in our most recent survey in 2021. Next slide. This is analogous data with the Massachusetts Division of Marine Fisheries. This survey does a really nice job of catching younger fish. It primarily operates in inshore waters within 3 miles of the coast and state waters. So it primarily catches age 0, 1, and 2 fish. And you can see, but there were some older fish detected in the survey through time, and that's not the case so much anymore. And in fact, in 2021, it didn't detect any fish older than age 1. Next slide. This is sort of an analytical analysis of the spatial distribution that we see in the surveys. This particular analysis is a Gini index, and what it shows is that the spatial distribution of the population in the Gulf of Maine has become highly concentrated in Western Gulf of Maine in recent years. If we look at the next slide, you can see another representation of this concentration. So next slide. Okay. So here, basically, we're looking at the spatial distribution, the percent positive toes, and you can see that that's also declined through time. So next slide. So this is a brief history of the assessment history for the Gulf of Maine stock. You can see that we've been doing analytical assessments on the stock since 2001. Generally, it has been found to be overfished, and that overfishing is occurring, and that has been the case almost continuously, with the exception of the assessment that was done in 2008. And that is the conclusion from this most recent update, is that the stock continues to be overfished and overfishing is occurring. Next slide. These are the key model inputs for the Gulf of Maine stock. It is what we would consider to be data rich. We do have two models for this particular stock. The two models differ in terms of their natural mortality assumptions. One assumes that the natural mortality rate is constant at 0.2. The second is the M-RAMP model, which assumes the natural mortality increase from 0.2 to 0.4 over time. So in terms of fishery removals, this has both commercial landings and discards, recreational landings and discards, estimates of catch at age. And then there are three major surveys that are included in the model. The NIMS spring and autumn bottom trawl surveys, and the Massachusetts Division of Marine Fisheries bottom trawl survey. Next slide. So here are some results from the model, and we have the M equals 0.2 constant mortality model results on the left-hand panel, the M-RAMP results on the right-hand panel. The results are largely similar, and when you compare them to the previous model that we did, you can see that the current estimates of spawning stock biomass are trending in the same direction, and that is that they are climbing slightly, but they are lower than what we previously estimated. This is a result of a retrospective pattern that we've seen in both of these models through time. I will talk about that a little bit more later in the presentation. Next slide. These are the model results for fishing mortality. And again, you can see that there is a retrospective pattern that shows up in both assessments. And you can see that the fishing mortality rate has been revised slightly upward in the last 4 years. And this is a similar pattern that we've seen in this assessment over time. One piece of good news is that you can see the decline in overall fishing mortality rate from the mid, say 2012 down to, 2019. So management measures that have been put in place do appear to be reducing fishing mortality. Next slide. So some more model results. The spawning stock biomass in 2019 is estimated to be around 3,000 metric tons. It's a little bit higher in the MRAMP model. You can see it's 3,083 metric tons in the M equals 0.2 model, about 200 metric tons higher in the MRAMP model. You can see that the terminal year fishing mortality rate for 2019 is similar between the models, a little bit higher in the MRAMP model. And recruitment continues to be low with both models. So the shading basically shows the 90% confidence interval associated with each one of those metrics. Next slide. Some more model results. These are the numbers at age that are estimated to be in the population for the two models, M equals 0.2 on the left, MRAMP on the right. You can see that both models are estimating fewer older cod in recent years, and the population is largely appears to be dominated by age one and age two fish. There is some evidence of some recruitment in 2017. So these would be age one fish in 2018. That's a little bit of a blip in the recruitment, but it's still low relative to what we've seen for historical recruitment for this stock. Next slide. Just some information in terms of looking at the retrospective pattern. Unfortunately, the retrospective error in both models has been increasing through time. That's a significant issue that we are absolutely want people to be aware of and that we are looking into. Next slide. This is just a representation of the retrospective pattern. And we can see that the retrospective pattern shows up as an increase in the fishing mortality and a decrease in spawning stock biomass with the addition of each additional data point or each additional year in the model. Next slide. This is the same pattern for fishing mortality. Retrospective pattern shows an increase in F, a decrease in spawning stock biomass. Next slide. The retrospective pattern we consider to be major in four of the last five updates. That would require, a retrospective adjustment and things like that. The MRAMP model retrospective pattern is very close to becoming major and requiring, again, a retrospective correction. Next slide. The biological reference points have been largely stable. They've certainly been stable since the last assessment update. You can see the assumptions that go into estimating those reference points. They really haven't changed much since the last assessment update. Next slide. One of the points of the biological reference points is the recruitment function. This was set in the last benchmark. It has a relatively minor effect on the reference points and the projections because the short-term projections are really dominated by the existing biomass and not by the recruitment. The reference points are based on 100-year projections. The SSB reaches the hinge in roughly 5 years. Therefore, the reference point really is driven by the spawning stock biomass to the right of that hinge. Next slide. Here's a look at the stock status. We actually have a little bit of a mixed bag here. Both models indicate that the stock continues to be overfished. But the difference is that the M equals 0.2 constant natural mortality model indicates that overfishing continues to occur. But the MRAMP model actually shows that overfishing is not occurring, but it's very close to the threshold. So in other words, the MRAMP model just went over the biological reference point relative to overfishing. So the two models are actually giving us, different interpretations of status. Next slide. Here are the short-term projections. These were chosen by the Management Track Review Panel. I'm sure there are other projections that have been requested through the council process. And so all of these projections will run at F equals FMSY. The assumed catch in 2020 and 2021 was 409 metric tons and 529 metric tons, and this was agreed upon by the plan development team. And the 2021 catch was set to the total allowable catch. So, quick summary for the Gulf of Maine stock. We do see consistent signals across data sources, models, and approaches. The fishery and survey data continue to show few old fish and few incoming recruits. So we have populations that appear to be dominated by younger fish, and we appear to have a truncated age composition in the population. The survey indices and the percent occurrence remain low. The stock remains overfished, and there is a mixed signal whether overfishing status has changed or not. So, next slide. Moving on to the Georges Bank cod stock. Next slide.
Thanks, Mr. Burns. Well, hang on a second, Mr. Burns. Why don't we? I mean, there's a lot on these slides. Why don't we take questions from the council on one at a time, if you don't mind, so we don't get too convoluted later on. So if you don't mind, I'm going to go out to the council. Is there any questions from the council on Gulf of Maine cod? Dr. Sissonwine.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chair, and thanks, Russ, for the presentation. Obviously, this is a data-rich assessment, as you said, but one where model issues underlie the richness of the data. I found it interesting that you showed that when you compared MRAMP to constant M, the MRAMP had both a higher biomass, slightly higher biomass, and a higher fishing mortality, as you reported it. I assume they're both using the same catch data. So those two conclusions can only be true if your F levels are, of course, scaled to selectivity. So I'm assuming then the selectivity is very different between the two assessments. Is that correct?
Mike, thank you for the question. I do believe that the selectivities are different between the assessments. And then what you're looking at is basically somewhat of a scaling issue.
Yeah, it's a multiplier, which is quite common. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But mm-hmm. that does raise in my mind the issue of the how often selectivity is reestimated in these assessments, because, I mean, you're in essence using the MRAMP at least previously to be to some degree an alias for the retrospective. And I'm wondering whether there's been any exploration of whether changing the frequency at which selectivity is reestimated might achieve the same sort of outcomes.
I think for this assessment update that we haven't really looked into that in detail. It's certainly something that the research track assessment process will look at. And just for everyone's information, the research track process for cod, not necessarily for these stocks, but for cod, is up and running. We have a research assessment working group. They have met once. I believe they're meeting on Friday again. So they're just getting started in terms of really taking a deep dive into some of the questions and trying to answer some of the diagnostic issues that we're currently having.
Okay, thank you for that answer, Russ. If I could just quickly add, I guess my takeaway from all of this is that there's no question the stock is severely depleted and very low abundance. Fishing mortality has defined very, very sharply due to regulation, as you said, and probably not the driver of the issue at this stage. It may or may not be above FMSY, but clearly the stock is in a very low abundance. Is that takeaway reasonable enough?
Yes, in my mind it is. And the fact is that there are probably natural processes, ecosystem processes that are likely more important than fishing mortality for this stock at this point, given the fishing mortality has been reduced to a very low level.
All set, Mike?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, next is Mr. Salerno and then Mr. Smith. And Joe, maybe we could go back one slide would be great, I think. Mr. Salerno.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for this, Russ. I just have two quick questions about the sampling related to the actual fishery. In your summary here, the line says that the fishery and the survey data continue to show few older fish. I'm just curious, when you're talking about the fishery, is that related to observer data, or does that also include port sampling showing that there's few older fish being landed? And then my second question is related to the recreational fishery. Is there any size sampling done in the recreational fishery? And if so, is that data also included showing that there is a, fewer older fish coming in?
Okay, thank you for those questions. The answer to your first question is the commercial catch is landed or is sampled through the port sampling program. And so we're sampling all of the market categories where cod are landed. So when we see in the catch at age, in the commercial catch at age, we see a truncated age composition that's actually coming from the commercial fishery. And that is augmented by observer data also. With the recreational fishery, yes, there is size and age sampling done in the through the MREP program. At times, especially recently with these very short recreational fishery openings, it's difficult sometimes to capture, the true essence of what's going on in the fishery. But there are length samples coming from the recreational fishery also.
Okay, thank you. I'm all set.
Okay, I have Mr. Smith next and Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Russ, for the presentation. Joan, I didn't know or who's driving the slides, but I was wondering if we could go back to the bubble plot slide that showed age structure, truncated. You were talking about truncated age structure on that one. And I guess while we scroll back there, Russ, I recall it showing that the age structure was, fairly broad back in the 80s, and then it. I think it's the next one back, Joan. Yeah. 70s and 80s, it looked like the age structure was pretty good. It contracted a bit. And I was just curious about what happened in the sort of early 2000s. It looked like there were some signals of improved age structure then, and then things truncated back down. And were there some good year classes coming through the fishery then? Was there some management? Any indication in the assessment of where that more recent expansion of the age structure came from and where it went?
There was some recruitment that happened back in that time period. And so when you get a larger year class, that can carry through to older ages. And I believe, the model seems to show that that's what's happening in time. The problem recently has been that the recruitment has been poor. And so there are less fish to sort of reach those older ages.
Okay, thanks for that. And then I was hoping we could go to the results of the assessment that showed the biomass. There was a slide that showed biomass and fishing mortality and some recent more positive signs, if for lack of a better word there. Keep going, Joe. Keep going. maybe Russ knows which slide number it is I'm talking about. Keep going. Yeah, there we go. It does look like from the mid-2010s, there has been at least a positive change in direction in the trend of the stock. And Russ, you had mentioned some management measures going in place. I think those relative improvements in spawning biomass and also fishing mortality on the next one coincide fairly well with the pretty significant cuts that we put in place on the catch limits for Georges Bank cod in the mid-2010s. Am I reading that correctly, Russ?
Yeah, I think my interpretation here is if you the fishing mortality rate really has dropped, quite remarkably since about 2012. And I do think that we're actually seeing some response here from the population at this point. So the good news is it doesn't seem to be continuing to decline. The mixed news is, it's starting to increase out of a fairly deep hole. So, we should take that as sort of, at least some positive, signal in response to management.
Okay. I appreciate that. And I know we're going to have a difficult conversation later today about quotas for Georges Bank cod. And I just hope we can keep, these figures in mind when we think about, some of the potential upside to, quota cuts on stocks that are in poor shape. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Pierdnock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Brown. As noted, there are some positives here. And what's positive about the positives is that it's consistent with observations by select people or from the recreational and for-hire community that fish in Massachusetts state waters, Stellwagen Bank and east of the bank. For instance, that Mass DMS spring survey showed an uptick in landings, an uptick in the cod encountered in the toes, which that's a positive and consistent. As you noted, the management measures have reduced fishing mortality. And for the Gulf of Maine, rec measures went to zero possession for some period. That's where you've seen the reduction. But also over time, the recreational and for-hire community has done a good job to avoid cod while they're fishing for haddock. Well, one thing that helped with that was Massachusetts DMF provided haddock charts for the public to use to go to haddock congregations, which would minimize the landing of cod. So I see that also as another positive. One thing though is that where we typically would, or the for-hire community would typically encounter cod, it's not the case anymore. They're not where one would typically encounter them through the years. They move, they change for whatever reason. So with that, that's where the difficulty with these trawl surveys being conducted and the fact that they moved over time, I'm concerned to whether they're capturing the biomass. Now, with that, there's a few things that maybe could add to the data set to help with where the fish are being encountered, landed, or released. For instance, the MRIP data, can you take the MRIP data, and I would assume you could take the EVTR data that would provide you the location or the general area in which the cod were landed or released. And I'm not sure if the MRIP interviews could do the same. And you take that and see how that corresponds to the results. In addition, I believe that party boats have observers on them, and there's some data there that could be gleaned about cod being caught or released and where for party boats. And recently, 2 or 3 years ago, I and others participated in a Massachusetts Division of Marine Fisheries pilot test with EVTRs, where an observer went on the boat and interviewed the captain, interviewed the crew, interviewed the people landing the fish or releasing the fish to get such data. So there's another source that possibly could help with the data set. So I'm curious, is that MREP data, EVTR data, or are these other sources, are they being used, or does the potential exist that we should look at them to maybe help with the outcome? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. There's a couple of things I'll comment on. First, I don't believe there's a lot of that we're currently utilizing spatial information that may be available through the MREP program. So that is an excellent suggestion. In terms of perhaps different spatial distributions of the resource in recent times versus past times, we're hearing that from both recreational and commercial fishermen. And I certainly would encourage the council to consider the information, consider information in general is contained in the State of the Ecosystems report that's presented by the center on an annual basis. That certainly provides information in terms of trends in the ecosystem. And we are seeing evidence that fish populations are responding to those changes in the ecosystem. The key thing about the survey is it's designed to be synoptic. It does sample cod, but it samples all of the fish in the ecosystem. And one of the advantages to having a consistently executed survey over time is that we can measure changes in the ecosystem. We can measure changes in the distribution of the resource. And so that gives us a significant advantage over some other regions that don't have a synoptic survey that's been operating for decades.
You all set, Mike?
Thank you, Russ. I appreciate that. Any potential for using the Party Boat or Mass DMF pilot test data, or has it been used?
To my knowledge, it hasn't been used. There is probably potential to do that. As I mentioned previously, we are winding up a research track assessment process right now. They'll operate all through next year, and we'll present its results in the spring of 2023. And really the goal of that research track process is to turn over every stone and every sort of line of evidence that we can use to inform relative to the state of these resources.
Thank you, Russ.
Okay, next I have Mr. Neese and then go to the public. So, Mr. Neese.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. While we've got this slide on the board, I'd just like to note that we start to see increases in spawning stock biomass roughly around, 2013, 2014. Chair, if you can go to the next slide. I guess I'm a little concerned. I have a question. I thought I heard during the discussion someone say that Gulf of Maine cod F was at a very low level. And while F is certainly much lower than it was in 2013 or 14, where it was at a very high level, I interpret this plot to say that we are just now getting to the point where F is near the overfishing level, and we're still well above the target F under our ABC control rule or under our rebuilding plan for Gulf of Maine cod. Hey, Russ, am I interpreting this plot correctly?
Yes, you are. Okay. So my point, and I may have misspoken a little bit or misled, the fishing mortality rate has obviously been reduced greatly due to management measures. But the fact is the status of the stock is that it continues to be overfished. And we, overfishing is still occurring. I guess my point was, we have made some major management implemented some very significant management measures, and this is the first time in a while that we've seen the stock actually, the spawning stock biomass actually start to respond to that.
Yeah, and so to me this is a somewhat important point because I'm trying to bring this as a question to you, Russ. It seems like we've got the F perhaps not below FMSY, but very close to FMSY under both models. And we're starting to see a response in the stock with an increase. So, you know, I thought Dr. Sisselin made a comment that F does not seem to be influencing the population. And it seems to me the evidence here is exactly the opposite, that when we reduce the F to near the overfishing level, we started to see an increase in spawning stock biomass. And while I don't remember the assessment team making a comment that F was not influencing stock size, which is a comment that has been made on Georges Bank yellowtail flounder, did the assessment team make that comment?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Dr. Sisselin.
I don't think that I said F isn't influencing the pop. Well, I mean, I won't try to remember what I said, but my point is that F has been reduced to about a level that through broad experience would be a reasonable level for a fishery, that the stock size is clearly very, very low. I mean, that's the extent of my point. Numerically, there's no question that the numerical comparisons between the estimates of F and the calculations of reference points say, and our control rule say F should be lower. That's just a factual basis, but that is based on a huge number of issues and uncertainties that hopefully will all be addressed in the next benchmark. But my bottom line is, I think the F level is not an unreasonable F level. The stock size is very depleted. Thank you.
Okay. I don't see any hands from the public. Anybody from the public have any questions at this point? Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Russ. Just wanted to follow up. Some of the other council members had already brought it up, but in looking at some of the state surveys, you know, it does look like in the chart that you provided on that slide, it does look like there are positive signs of recruitment that are coming out of the state surveys over the last few years, which is good to see. I don't know if there's been any 2021 spring data that's been considered yet, but hopefully that trend is continuing. And hopefully the council will have that information available to them when they consider their next suite of management measures and actions. But the question I wanted to ask was, one, is there been any discussions within the Science Center of looking at signs of recruitment being generated out of the lobster fishery? You hear repetitively coming from the commercial groundfish fishery that that there is an increasing number of lobster traps in the water and reportedly small cod that are occasionally caught seasonally in that gear. And I'm wondering what data exists or whether NOAA is looking into that, or if there's any observer data in the lobster fishery to be able to quantify that moving forward. And then the other quick question I had was in regards to row adjusting the 0.2 natural mortality model for Gulf of Maine cod. You know, as you had mentioned, since, you know, it's been now since the 2013 benchmark assessment for Gulf of Maine cod, there's been a lot of discussion about the models and natural mortality estimates. It wasn't until the 2019 assessment where it was not selected to create a or to implement a row adjustment on the 0.2 model, but it was put forward as a sensitivity run to the SSC for consideration and catch advice. This, what's different about this latest assessment is now there is, the row adjusted 0.2 model that did move through the assessment through the SSC is now being considered by the council today. And I'm just curious what you know, everyone's always known that the 0.2 model has, you know, significant and major retrospective, but in the past, there was not any, you know, there wasn't a conclusion to actually have that be the model that was approved. And then I was reading through the stock assessment report. It says that there was a 2020 Science Center guidance that was provided to the peer reviewers that now says that they needed to follow a row adjustment to the 0.2 model. So I'm just curious what that, you know, is the row adjustment for the 0.2 model that's always been significant and is it this 2020 Science Center guidance document that now came out recently? Is that what's really led the acceptance of the 0.2 row adjusted model? Thank you.
Sure. Let me answer your lobster fishery question first. We don't have a lot of observer. There is some observer information from the lobster fishery, but not a lot. Obviously, the way the fishery is conducted, there's a large number of operators and a great deal of effort. We're obviously aware that there is groundfish bycatch in that fishery. It's an open question and one that I know the research track is going to be looking into relative to how significant that bycatch is for the cod resource in the Gulf of Maine. In terms of the row adjustment, we've really tried to be consistent in the way that we the way that we make those row adjustments among assessments. And so when I use terms like major retrospective pattern and minor retrospective pattern, they're relative to thresholds that have been established to be consistent. So when we have a major retrospective pattern, then we row adjust for it. When we have a minor retrospective pattern, then we don't perform the row adjustment for it.